Welcome to the Teaching Space podcast, coming to you from Guernsey in the Channel Islands. Hello and welcome to the Teaching Space podcast. It's Martine here. Thank you for joining me. In today's episode, I am very excited to be joined by a guest. Welcome to the show, Vanessa Mee. Hello. Hi, Vanessa.
Hello, Martine.
We work together, so I know you very well, but I'm conscious that the listeners of the Teaching Space don't know you. So please could I ask you to introduce yourself to the Teaching Space listeners. Tell us a bit about your teaching and your background, your subject specialisms, that sort of thing.
Okay, Martine. So I am Vanessa Mee, and I am currently lecturing at the Guernsey College of FE. This year is my 21st year in teaching in the FE sector. So I've been teaching quite a long time. So my career started in the theatre. My degree was in drama and theatre, and I went to work for a theatre company, but predominantly in the outreach and education department. So it was a big touring theatre company based in the Northwest, and my job really was working alongside the producers to create educational material. So I was actually writing workshops, and I absolutely loved it, and that's what made me decide to do a PGCE, because I just love the idea of curating and choreographing a lesson, and that's what I love doing still to this day. I'm quite happy to sit and plan and so I went off to do my PGCE, and then my first job was at South Cheshire College under the principal, the late Sir David Collins, who, as you might know, went on to be the FE commissioner. And I had a really, really interesting experience there for 9 years. I was an advanced practitioner, a lecturer. I taught teacher training there. I was an external verifier and examiner. I wrote CPD training programs for national courses. And the mission of the college, while I was there, was to reach a grade one standard, and we did. In 9 years we did, and we actually were crowned top college in the UK.
Goodness, that's quite an accolade.
Yeah, and I very much felt like a cog in that machine, because I was on the advanced practitioner team, looking at teaching and learning, looking at how to improve and be excellent. And it was exhausting. It was really exhausting. And so then I was looking for a new challenge. I was looking for something completely different to work in FE, obviously, because FE is amazing, but a slightly different context. And the Guernsey job came up. So here I came to a little island with beautiful beaches, and I'm working in a specialist arts centre, fantastic theatre, teaching drama, teaching performing arts, and also teaching on the teacher training programme. But what's really brilliant about this island and this college is that I get to be a true dual professional. So I'm working in the arts as well. It's been an interesting career so far. Be interesting to see what's next.
Vanessa, it must have been a bit of a shock to the system moving from the UK to a tiny island. How was that transition?
That transition, yes, it was jarring, I have to say, because not only had I been working in the UK, which I do feel works at a different pace and with much, much different priorities, what was doubly jarring is that I'd been working in this machine of the top college in the UK. When I first came to Guernsey, that adjustment I found quite difficult, just because things were done differently. Everything was done differently. I mean, in the UK, there's so many constraints around funding and places and how many bums on seats you need to get in your classroom. Whereas the beautiful thing about Guernsey is that we're educating the population. There is a finite number of people who live here. Our catchment goes as far as the sea. And, you know, we can't just create people to come and do our courses. So we are educating people who are in front of us. And that to me is really interesting. The differentiation can be quite stark. But there is a real sense here of the holistic education of the person. And although it was quite tricky at first, I'm really glad that I have made that transition, and I think I would find it very difficult to go back.
What I'd really like to zoom in on is the work that you do with trainee teachers and also newly qualified teachers, because you mentioned earlier that you are very much involved in the college's teacher education program. So I wonder if you could tell us a little bit about those type of students, the people that you work with, the people who want to become teachers in FE. Tell us a bit about them.
I would say that my trainees are what I would class as mature students, so not coming straight from university necessarily. And on the whole, they seem to be career changers. So people who are vocational specialists, people working in industry, who want to come into the education world, which is great because they're bringing with them a wealth of up-to-date experience, which is really refreshing. Sometimes I have quite experienced lecturers who want to formalise their qualification, but on the whole, it tends to be students who want to do something more rewarding, perhaps, with their profession. So, yeah, predominantly very, very experienced industry professionals who want to bring that to the classroom.
And I imagine that creates a really diverse classroom for you to manage. That must make it very interesting.
Yeah, it's absolutely brilliant. It's the highlight of my week is teaching teacher training, because people come from so many different backgrounds. The cohort that I've just taught, I had an engineer, a photographer, a horticulturalist, and that diversity brings a lot of richness to our discussions, to what we're doing. And of course, I get the privilege of observing all these sessions and seeing all these different things. I've observed on a motor racing track. I've observed in a greenhouse. It's brilliant. And I think that makes for a really good cohort when they come with all these different life experiences and also different experiences of being in education themselves. So some people have had a really negative experience of education, and that comes through with them. And it's about kind of busting some of those myths and preconceptions about what a teacher should be. Some people have been, you know, through lots of different courses, masters, PhDs, and now they want to specialise as a teacher. So yeah, it's brilliant. It's a really fantastic position to be in. I'm very lucky.
Based on your explanation of your background, Vanessa, it's clear that you've been teaching for a very long time. So I wonder what your advice would be to newly qualified teachers.
Okay, so newly qualified teachers, as opposed to teachers starting to train, I think, yeah, that's really interesting differentiation between those two. Newly qualified teachers, whether you've just completed a DIP Ed, a Cert Ed, a PGCE, DETLs, or all the different types of training, there is going to be a gap in your life, quite a happy gap, where all that reading and research and essay writing and presentations and planning used to be. And I think it's about looking how to continue that in a way that's manageable and meaningful for you. So I think my first real point of advice would be about planning, not planning content, but planning logistics. Hopefully you've received your timetable, you're in post, you've got your new timetable. I think it's definitely worth looking at that timetable and expanding it out. So thinking about, when am I having my lunch?
Oh no, that's such good advice.
It sounds so simple. When am I going to plan? Okay, I've got some admin time here. What admin am I going to do? Because there's so many different things in terms of admin, whether it's filling in registers or contacting parents, planning lessons. So I would say to try and look at the big picture of the year. Think about when the squeeze points are going to be. Think about when you need to build in some time for marking. Think about when you need to rest. And I mean that on a daily basis, not just a yearly basis. So I would say to really think about marking out your year and being in control of that bigger picture. Because all of that was pretty much controlled for you in your training, your essay deadlines, your teaching placement window, your observations. So now it's about kind of planning that year out yourself. So I would say that planning is a really important thing.
I think that's really good advice. I've got a couple of episodes of the podcast on time blocking. So I think what I'll do is I'll make sure I link to those episodes in the show notes, because that seems to go hand in hand with what you're suggesting, the idea of kind of blocking out all aspects of your day to include things like rest and lunch, the important stuff that we as busy teachers need. That's a fantastic suggestion.
Absolutely. I think it's so important, because it is a bit of a marathon, the academic year. So it's, you know, it's just about pacing yourself through that sometimes.
It's time for a quick ad break. I'm a huge fan of audiobooks from Audible, and I want to share the love. Grab yourself a 30-day Audible trial and free audiobook at theteachingspace.com/audible.
But the great thing is about being newly qualified and in post is that you now have maybe a kind of wider timetable. You may be with a group more permanently than on placement. So now is the time that you can start really personalizing your space and your relationships. So I think if you're lucky enough to have your own classroom, it's about making it your own and building relationships with the students so they know that you're a permanent fixture. I think that's a really nice position to be in when you've newly qualified. So I think about putting your stamp on your space and your classrooms, even if you're not in a classroom permanently, you can still, there's ways that you can do that that's quite nice, rather than being I'm just popping in to do 6 weeks or whatever you might be doing on your placement. And I think that helps as well, because one of the really common things that I experience with trainee teachers, particularly on the pastoral side, is imposter syndrome, which I find really interesting, because in my experience, trainee teachers are fantastic teachers and amazing, because they're in their training, they're on the cutting edge of research, they're reading all the time, they're experimenting, they're willing to try new things. And I think that this imposter syndrome feels quite real for a lot of people. And that might continue into, you know, newly qualified teachers' lives. So I think doing anything you can to feel authentic and real is important.
I think imposter syndrome is a very real thing, and for me personally, I don't think it ever went away. It arrives less frequently these days, but yeah, it's something that newly qualified teachers are likely to experience often. That's a great point.
And I think it's quite common with career changes as well, because you know, as an established career as a chef or an engineer, you're quite comfortable in your role, cooking in the kitchen or building bridges or whatever it is that you've been doing. But actually being a teacher, I find some people really struggle with making that leap. And even newly qualified teachers, some of them, I've found they don't like to be thought of as a teacher. I think that's really interesting in terms of how teachers are perceived. But there is a fear, I'm not clever enough to be a teacher. I don't know enough yet to be a teacher. But actually, you know, that's not true. It's about you being able to make gaps smaller in people's knowledge and learning.
That's a really interesting point, actually. I observed a teacher some time ago who was a very experienced teacher, but she insisted, or he or they insisted, on not being referred to as a teacher. They didn't like the word teacher because they had some serious imposter syndrome. They wanted to be referred to as a facilitator.
Yes. Yeah, I can understand that. And I think that, you know, that's a bit of an FE thing as well, isn't it?
And
I mean, you know, in terms of imposter syndrome, I think there's an element of feeling that you've still got lots to do and learn and experiment with that's quite healthy. And you know, one thing that I would strongly recommend newly qualified teachers to do is to continue that research and reading and experimentation, maybe not to the levels that you have done in your training, because, you know, that's going to burn you out completely. But you're in the mindset, you've got the momentum of learning, so keep going with it, whether that's through your CPD, doing your QTLS, which I highly recommend, getting involved in professional learning groups and things like that, book groups. You know, you're new to teaching, but you're at the top of your game in terms of being interested in teaching and theories of education and pedagogy. So keep that going, because life gets very, very busy and it's easy to slide out of that rhythm. So I would say to find some way, hopefully supported by your college, to keep going with your kind of curiosity.
100% agree with that. And there are so many ways you can access professional development. You know, you can listen to podcasts. That's a great way to access professional development. Twitter for me is a great source of sort of leading me towards interesting things to read. There's lots of PD available that's not necessarily organized by your college or your school. So I think that's a great tip.
And I also think that maintaining that link with your industry is really important too. And I think that, you know, sometimes that's where the borderline can blur quite nicely, because if you're an electrician and you've been a practicing electrician for 10, 15 years, and then you become a lecturer, you still want to stay at the forefront of what electricians do and all that, the science and technology and around that. So it's thinking about how you can stay updated. So I'm really lucky in that, like, I feel like a dual professional, because there's lots of arts and theatre going on around me that I can be involved in. So I'm doing a project at the moment, an acting project at the moment with a professional theatre company, which is terrifying, but it means that I'm putting myself into the position that my students are in, my acting students, because I'm doing it and I'm putting myself out there. And what's really nice is that my CPD is supported through college, and I'm actually looking at analytical writing, so I'm analyzing what I'm doing in that professional capacity, and I'm sharing that with my students. So I think it just makes you a bit of a more rounded practitioner if you're that close to your industry.
Brilliant. I totally agree with that.
In terms of actually teaching the nuts and bolts of teaching in the classroom, as a newly qualified teacher, I think when I observe lessons, one of the most common pieces of feedback that I give is about the teacher and student activity ratio. And I always feel that teachers, especially newly trained, newly qualified teachers and training teachers, tend to do too much. And by the end of the session, you can see that they have worked really hard. The student, you know, the students might have worked, but the teacher has worked harder. And I think that that for me personally, just my personal preference, I think that's not a great ratio. I think the student should always be working harder than you. And, you know, if you know, in your teaching practice, you might have been teaching one lesson a day, two lessons a day. Now you might be teaching five, and it's about kind of keeping that level going. You're going to exhaust yourself. So it's about thinking how to transfer the activity onto the student, making them responsible, making them lead. Obviously, not at the sacrifice of learning, I think, you know, to the advantage of learning, but about not feeling like you need to do a grade one observed qualification lesson every single day, all day. And it's and again, that goes back to the planning and the big picture and pacing yourself and looking at how to make things varied and interesting. So, yeah, I think I would say that, you know, one of my big tips is it about in the classroom is about looking at the level of activity that you're outputting.
That's so true. And actually, if you do keep that high level of activity constantly, you're going to be exhausted, and it's a clear path to teacher burnout, which in your first year you are absolutely at risk of. So that's very, very valid advice. And you know, through my own personal experience, if I reflect on my first year of teaching post qualification, I was definitely doing far too much. So it was verging on edutainment. I was working so hard, you know, there's a performance every single day at the front of the class. So getting your students to do the work, I say that very broadly because obviously not all the work. That's a really important thing to take on board for certainly your first year and thereafter.
Yes, yeah. And you know, that self-care thing is so important. It's so important because, you know, teaching is not going to be easier because you've trained. That, you know, that's that's definitely not going to happen. It's not like, okay, here's your certificate, you can relax now. Teaching is, if anything, is going to maintain the same level of demand from you.
Yes. Yeah.
Sometimes can even get hired, you know, as you get new challenges, new courses, a new curriculum is released or whatever. You are constantly renewing and reviewing and trying new things. So teaching is not going to get easier as you become more experienced. Managing the teaching is, because you know, you learn the loopholes and the tricks and the pacing and whatever, but the actual teaching is not. So self-care is so important, and just taking those breaks, resting, you know, doing all the things that individually you need to do for self-care, planning your holidays. It's really, really important.
It is, and it's the only way you are going to stay at the top of your game as a teacher. It's really cliche, and I've mentioned it in podcast episodes before, but it's that classic situation when you're on a flight and if you have to use the breathing apparatus, that you put your mask on before you help anybody else. As a teacher, you have to look after yourself before you can even think about looking after anybody else. I know it's a bit cliche, but it really resonates in this sort of situation, doesn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely. And then if you can do that, then you're going to be a better person for your college. And that kind of brings me on to my final piece of advice, really, which is about becoming part of that college community, whether it's on a social level or on a kind of support basis. I think that it's important, you know, you have possibly become quite insular in your training by doing all your work and your reading and your planning. So to then look outwards and see what's going on in the wider college, are there any groups, project teams that you can get involved in? How can you collaborate across departments? Can you buddy up with someone? Can you do some observations, peer observations, and that kind of thing, linking back to your own professional development? But I think ultimately, one of the nicest things that you can do after your training is to give back. So, you know, was there something that you learnt or tried out on your teacher training that you can now share with the wider college? Can you support someone? Could you be a mentor? You've been mentored through your training. Can you now mentor somebody else? So thinking about the wider community and how you can be a part of that bigger school, college, institution.
That's a brilliant suggestion. And actually, I like in particular what you said about mentoring, because somebody who's just finished their teacher training is really well placed to mentor somebody who's just about to start. And that's possibly quite a contentious suggestion there, because I think some colleges and some schools would frown upon that and say, well, they've not got enough experience and things like that. But as you said earlier, people who have just come out of their teacher training are at the top of their game in terms of reading research and being current. So setting up some sort of mentoring arrangement could be really rewarding for both parties, I think.
Absolutely. And of course, that empathy that goes with having just completed something.
Oh, yes, definitely. Vanessa, that's a fantastic package of advice you've just provided there for newly qualified teachers. Thank you ever so much. Is there anything we've missed? Is there anything you'd like to add?
I'm sure we've missed a lot of things, but I think, I think it's all about big picture planning, placing yourself, your identity within the classroom, getting the students to work for you, looking after yourself, and giving back a little bit to your college.
Fantastic. Vanessa, thank you so much for coming on the Teaching Space podcast. I really appreciate it. It's been a pleasure to speak to you.
You're absolutely welcome, Martine.
Big thanks to Vanessa for coming on the show. It was such a pleasure to share her experience and wisdom with you. If you're a trainee teacher or a newly qualified teacher or trainer in any sector of education or training, then why not pop into the Teaching Space community to talk all things teaching and learning? Hop over to community.theteachingspace.com and I'll see you in there. Thanks for listening. I hope you'll join me for the next episode. Thank you for listening to the Teaching Space podcast. You can find the show notes for this episode at theteachingspace.com.